This is the State of Things broadcasting from the Museum of Natural Sciences in downtown Raleigh. I'm Frank Stacio, and we are here to catch the action at the International Bluegrass Music Association's annual convention. And bluegrass has indeed become an international phenomenon, and its popularity around the world goes back a long time. It's been particularly popular in the Czech Republic, where it caught on in the early years of the Cold War. Czechs would secretly listen to radio broadcasts intended for American soldiers and heard musicians like Earl Scruggs and Bill Monroe. At that time, bluegrass represented freedom for Czechs living in a communist state, and they became fascinated with the music and began to imitate it. Today, the Czech Republic has one of the liveliest bluegrass scenes in Europe, and a new documentary profiles this tradition. It's called Banjo Romantica, American Bluegrass Music and the Czech Imagination. It's featured at this week's IBMA Film Festival, and we're going to preview it today. Joining us is one of the film's producers, Lee Bidgood. He's an ethnomusicologist and a professor at East Tennessee State. Lee Bidgood, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
How did you find out about the Czech interest in American bluegrass?
Well, in two ways, and in both I was here in the Triangle. I was a student at UNC Chapel Hill, and through the mandolin scene. At the time, I was playing mandolin with the Steep Canyon Rangers as a fledgling student group, and I was fascinated with the mandolin, and I was thinking, as most mandolinists do, I'd like to get a new, better mandolin. It's a common problem that we have. And I heard that there were fabulous instruments being made in the Czech Republic and started to hear wind of that, and at the same time, I had an opportunity to pursue a study abroad semester. And in the spring of 2000, I ended up in Prague for several months and actually got to meet some instrument builders and then saw the wealth of performers and composition and community around this music over there.
Well, stick around after this conversation. You will hear some wonderful mandolin. Sierra Hull is with us in our last segment. She's going to be playing some of that mandolin. But tell us more now about the history of Czech music and their interest in American bluegrass.
Well, it was really fascinating to learn about this history, not only in the Czech Republic, but worldwide. The American military has played a really, really strong role in spreading this kind of culture. I don't know if it was intended. I don't know if anyone was thinking we're going to spread American culture, including bluegrass and jazz and rock and roll, all over the world. But when the AFN broadcasts from Munich hit, They hit American soldiers' ears, but the Czechs also listened to them as well.
Well, Armed Forces Radio certainly was beaming with the intention of entertaining American soldiers, but Voice of America, Radio Free Europe, indeed was on a mission to spread American culture as antidote to during those years in the Cold War. But we have a clip now from Armed Forces Radio, some of the music and one of the programs that might have been heard in Eastern and Central Europe at the time. Let's listen.
From such audience response, AFN Munich knows that Stick Buddy Jamboree is the daytime favorite of their listeners.
Oh, just let me hear that theme just one more time. Well, a great big happy howdy to you out there, friends and neighbors. This is your old country buddy Wagon Wheel Willie coming at you on Stick Buddy Jamboree. Sit back and relax and enjoy 25 minutes of good country and western recorded music.
There we go. From the movie Banjo Romantica, American Bluegrass Music and the Czech Imagination. First of all, we are going to, after today, the state of things is now.
Stick Buddy Jamboree.
Stick Buddy Jamboree with Wagon Wheel Willie.
Yeah.
But listen, that's an important part of this, and you make that point in the film. The cowboy myth was as much a part of that in those early years of the Cold War, I guess, in spreading this vision of some vision of freedom, right?
Yes, and that goes back much further even than the 20th century. America has been a big part of the imagination of Europeans since the age of exploration in the 1500s. So there was a Czech journalist named Naprstek who went to the U.S. and the Midwest and the Far West in the 1800s and wrote journalistic accounts that were really, really popular with Czech audiences.
Now, when that myth starts meeting the music of people like Pete Seeger, there's a real explosion. Tell us about that.
Well, so people had heard the U.S. military radio. They had heard this banjo, the three-finger scala, people like Earl Scruggs. But they didn't know, and Marko Čermák in the film shows what he tells. He thought that Earl Scruggs was playing a four-stringed banjo with a flat pick. And for banjo players out there, you realize that would be a trick. But then he saw photos, actually, of Pete Seeger's banjo, and he said, oh my gosh, it has five strings.
What is it about the music? First of all, that makes you a great banjo player, because if you're trying to play that, you're getting better and better and better until you finally see that picture and realize right. what the magic really was all about. But what about the songs themselves and the music? How much of it sort of captured the imagination in terms of the story and the song, and how much of it was just the tone and the way the music came across?
I get different stories from different people I talk to in my ethnographic work, interviewing people and listening to people telling stories. They, I think, most often say that the music captured them, the sound of the banjo, in the same way that Bela Fleck in his keynote at the IBMA talked about that moment, that flash of I don't know what it is, but yeah. You hear that banjo and you say, oh my gosh, I need to know more about this and play it myself.
Yeah, the guy who's named for Bela Bartok picks up the banjo after hearing Earl Scruggs do the Beverly Hillbillies.
The circle is not unbroken.
So you talked about Marco Chermak. He's the guy who's sort of at the root of all of this in your film, and I want to let us hear a sample of his music now. That's Marco Chermak, featured in the film Banjo Romantica. One of the producers, Lee Bidgood, is with me now. So tell us about that. He had fairly limited access to the players, certainly, in the West, right?
Yes, and before 1968, and there was very limited access to any information about the banjo. And ironically, the Soviet invasion in 1968 opened up more opportunities for Czechs to learn about bluegrass because there were many exiles in the United States and Canada and elsewhere, and they were able to send back recordings and instructional books. And I think it was partially with that material that Marco Chermak himself was able to write an instructional book later in the 70s.
What was the music scene early on? Were the songs Czech songs, or was everybody covering American bluegrass, or a little both?
I think it was a mix of both, but many people, like the Greenhorns, would take American songs and either translate them or entirely retext them with a new Czech story. Like the one we just heard was Before I Met You, this country song that we often play in bluegrass today. And it's this whole story that's totally different. It's very different. It's not about that love story.
Well, there's a kind of an interesting moment in the film, too, where a musician, Lubos Malina, talks to you about some of the ways in which Czech musicians would take over the music after having heard and certainly admired the music of American musicians, but then made it their own. So here's an example. Lubos is talking about a roll that he heard from Bela Fleck. Let's listen.
On říkal, že Bela Fleck napsal takovou skladbu na tenhle ten rol. Jo? Takže tohle je Bela Fleck.
All right, and now here's what happens after he listens to it for a while and we hear the Czech version.
Na tenhle ten rol a mě napadlo.
So, Lee, tell us, at the risk of getting too geeky here, we can hear something different, but what's going on there?
Yeah, well, Lubos said that Lydian sound, the Lydian mode, is one that was really used in Czech and Moravian folklore from that area. And that was a compositional element that was used by Czech composers in the early 20th century who were trying to emphasize Czech nationality. So that was a big part of Czech nationalism as well. So that he ties into a long history of making Czechness and sound. And what's so interesting is that very few of the people I've met are that ambitious in blending them. I think most Czechs are really excited about the Americanness of the music. Mm. And so they're just trying to sound like Earl Scruggs or Noam Pikelny, you know, but they're really interested in that other thing. So, but I'm always excited to find examples of that kind of blending.
Well, here's the amazing thing. I mean, bluegrass music also is rooted in Celtic music that came across. And, of course, the Celts actually traced their origins to Central Europe mm-hmm. and then found themselves moving west. And so Moravian music, Moravian bagpipe, all of those things kind of have their roots all across Europe and then mm-hmm. back across the ocean. And here we are talking about it again. And not only do Czechs make the music, but they make the instruments. That bluegrass scene includes some of the most successful and talented instrument makers in the industry. Jarda Pruha has been building banjos for more than 30 years. His banjo parts are found on banjos all over the world. So check yours right now. Look down. Is that it? You got a Czech part on your banjo, and he's traveling to the IBMA convention here in Raleigh every year to talk about his instruments. Jarda, welcome to the State Things. Good to have you here.
Hello.
Hello.
How did you get started making banjos?
So, you know, it's a long history because my start to love sound of the banjo was when we were as a scout on the camp. You know, I was about 12 years old, and one year we had a fire, you know, we were sitting and singing, and came our friends with the banjo, you know, four-string banjo, as Lee said, you know, so it was the first time I heard the banjo, you know, and I fell in love in this sound, you know. So.
And you are a musician as well, you play.
Yeah, I play banjo, you know, so then I start to go to see a concert and listen to music of greenhorns, you know, and in this time Marko Čermák has his five-string banjo, you know, which makes me crazy, you know, this sound and pigs, you know, so it was a really, really new thing, you know, on the scene. So.
Are there any instrument makers in your family?
No. My father is electric engineer, you know, so I started to build the first instruments on the kitchen table, you know, with some small tools. You know.
Wow. How did your reputation catch on? When did you sell your first banjo? Do you remember that?
You know, and then I made my first banjo, and I was going to Banjo Jamboree, one of the biggest festivals, and people can see it, you know, so they came to me and asked me, can you build it for me also, you know, so...
A festival in the Czech Republic.
Yeah,
right?
In Czech Republic. Yeah.
Yeah. So and it is big there. Lee, let me ask you about that because your movie certainly focuses on the Czech Republic, but this kind of music is very popular in Eastern and Central Europe, right?
Yes, and all over Europe. And there's, I'd say, outside of the Czech Republic and this part of the United States, the biggest center of interest would be in Japan. So there are a lot of really interesting international interest in it. And the U.S. military, again, in Japan was a big player in bringing those sounds there as well.
How has it evolved in the sound itself in the Czech Republic?
Well, it's hard to say. I think most folks there have followed the evolution of the music here. Mm. They're very in touch with the community, especially with the advent of the internet and social media. They can be as up to date with Bluegrass Today or the IBMA and what new records are coming out as people are here.
And Jarda, you're making banjos not just for Czech musicians. In fact, your parts are found in.
Yeah. I make also mandolins, you know, and all the parts for banjo. And our market is mostly here in U.S. You know, we are not so big company, you know, just me and my son and my girlfriend in the office. So we make about 70 instruments per year, you know, but maybe 40-45 from them is coming to U.S.
You know. Well, Lee, you know, you talked about the roots of this music going back before the Cold War when it caught on and Marcos began to really sort of move it into a new level. Tell us a little bit about the tramping movement after World War I and how that plays a part in all of this.
And Marco in the film describes how Western movies from the U.S. Came and people were really struck. Just as they were later with the sound of the banjo, they were struck with images of the American West and the openness, the opportunity. And at that time, that was linked to the political influence of the United States in helping establish Czechoslovakia as the first democracy in Central Europe and the fallout of 1918 after World War I and the Austrian Empire.
I mean, it's sort of amazing, this myth of the American West, which was more or less never true in a lot of ways, and something that even Americans had to buy into as a myth. Even when that falls away, there's something that the music picked up in the myth that maintains a sort of authenticity that the story never really had. It's kind of amazing.
Right. And in the U.S. country music, there's a scholar named Richard Peterson who talks about how the image of the West and the cowboy blended with hillbilly music from this region, and those two came together to create country. And it's all very imagined. So I think one thing that this film and this concept makes us think about is how everything is constructed, everything is imagined,
yeah,
but we,
right,
especially in music, we're always imagining connections there, and I think some of those can be very real.
Well, when they catch on, that's when you need to pay attention. I think that's the interesting thing, because we can imagine things. If they're ephemeral, they will go away if they don't somehow connect with something deeper and perhaps more essential in all of us. Now, what's interesting too is the fact that a lot of this music is sung in English, and we talked about that. We have Zbigniew Burys, right? Let's listen to a little bit of his music right now. There's another nice moment in the film where you've got another artist sort of learning the English, trying to get the English down and all of that.
Yeah.
How important is it to sing in Czech or to sing in English for Czech audiences?
Well, there's a tension there between for a Czech performer to feel that they are really a part of bluegrass and sing in English, just as folks do here, or to pursue a more intimate linguistic connection with their Czech audience. And that the band that we just heard, Relief, I think did a fantastic job. They would sing pretty much everything, in except for one song in their repertoire, in English. And a lot of those were like that. The one we just heard from Zbigniew Burys, he composes a lot of excellent songs in English. He had two songs that were performed and even recorded by Doyle Lawson here. So he can write a good bluegrass song. But in their live shows, the guitar player, Jirka Holubek, he was a fantastic MC, and he would fill the rest of the show with excellent Czech banter. So there was a balance of both.
Yarda, where did you learn to make banjos? Did you kind of pick it up on your own, or
In the time when I started, it was not possible to see a banjo, even to buy it, So I got some catalog from Jeff Stelling, So I made a copy of the photos, and I knew that the banjo rim is 11 inches. So I made the measurement of the banjo rim, and then I made the measurement of the headstock, this way I made my first banjo,
So. And then kind of used your ears from that moment forward to
yeah.
make it sound right. Well, Lee, let me ask you about the future of bluegrass music in the Czech Republic. Has it peaked? Is it growing? Where is it?
I hear the same kind of concerns in the Czech Republic that I hear here, that people are concerned that there are fewer young people playing the music. But there's a multi-generational process of people becoming infatuated with the banjo as Yarda, and so many people have been, as they have been here. I think it's a healthy and very large and very active community, and I'm not afraid about its dying out.
I want to thank both of you for being on the program. Lee Bidgood is a producer of the film Banjo Romantica, American Bluegrass Music and the Czech Imagination, featured at this week's IBMA Festival. It's going to be screened tomorrow night at 8:30 and Saturday morning at 10 at the Raleigh Convention Center. Jarda Pruha is a Czech banjo maker who comes to IBMA every year. Thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you.
Coming up soon, we've been talking about the banjo. We're going to hear quite a bit of mandolin. Coming up with Sierra Hull on the State of Things, please stay tuned.